Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. We want to welcome you to our show as we cover world events in light of biblical prophecy through the return of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, folks, it is great to be back with you on the air. And I am coming to you live from Cape Cod, Hyannis, Massachusetts, where my wife and I have been spending the week down here at a beautiful home, a nice little cottage here on the Cape, owned by a friend of mine, a dear brother in the Lord, who is a member of our church. And because my wife and I did not get to celebrate our 27th wedding anniversary, since I had to be in Israel May 14th through the 27th, we have made that up, and a friend of mine, this dear brother in the Lord, said that we can use his cottage out here in beautiful Hyannis, Massachusetts. And so we are here, and today, of course, is our last day. We'll be leaving to head back to Lincoln, Rhode Island. And, folks, we are extremely excited because tomorrow I will once again board a plane heading back to Israel. I am going back to the Holy Land, but this time, folks, I am not going there with a group. I am not going there to sightsee, but I am going there to share the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, with the precious Jewish people. I am going to be with my dear friend and a guest on our show today. And folks, he is no stranger to any of you. Dr. Todd Baker is the guest on my show. And I will be leaving with Todd tomorrow afternoon, flying out of Philadelphia to the land of Israel. We will be there, ladies and gentlemen, for 18 days, passing our Bibles, sharing the gospel, and folks going one-on-one with the Jewish people. And so we're going to dedicate this show today to this 34th missions outreach to the Holy Land. Now, before I get Todd on the air, all of you who are listening to the show, whether you're listening to it live or you're listening to the archive next week, Todd and I are really coveting your prayers for this mission's outreach to the Jewish people. If you feel led by the Lord to financially help as well, then you can go to Dr. Todd Baker's website. Search the scriptures online.org, I believe. And there's a PayPal button there where you can send any support toward this missions outreach or a future missions outreach. But we are indeed coveting your prayers, folks, that God would use Todd and I to share the gospel, that the Ruach HaKodesh, as they say in Hebrew, the Holy Spirit, would go before us to prepare the hearts, prepare the way for Jewish people to see that Yeshua, Jesus, is indeed the prophesied Messiah of Israel. Todd and I have been praying every single Saturday for this missions outreach. And now, folks, it's here. And it is tomorrow. So without any further ado, I'm going to have Dr. Todd Baker on the air. Todd, are you there?
Yes, brother, and Super Sunday is tomorrow. The 34th
Super
Gospel
Sunday.
Outreach is upon us. And we are excited because I've seen the receptivity, the Jewish receptivity in the land of Israel towards Yeshua and accepting the complete Jewish Bible, Old and New Testaments, only increase and increase with each outreach, which I've said before to you and probably to your listeners, that this is further evidence that the second coming is soon, because many Jews, mostly of them secular, of course, want to know more about Yeshua, and many of them that we've handed, and we hand out New Testaments with the Old Testament so they can bridge the first coming messianic prophecies, bridge those with how Jesus fulfilled them in the New Covenant. And so these are nice little study Bibles that will be waiting for us at our hotel. And you'll see what I usually do, August, is each time I'll have one of the bellmen help us to bring the Bibles upstairs, and then, as you're going to see and participate, go on and witness to him and give him a Bible along with the tip. So that's kind of how we get things started. And once we get started, it just keeps rolling. And until 18 days later, we're tired, but it's the joy of completing one of these outreaches, knowing that you're making a difference in these end times, especially doing what the church should have been doing all along and preaching the gospel to the Jew first. The joy of that obedience and completing the mission is what you're going to see and experience. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it in the world. No amount of money, no drug, no pleasurable act can compare. So we just covet the prayers of your audience that once we land, or even before we land, we'll come out rolling, ministering the gospel to the chosen people, and won't stop until we land back here. It really is a spiritual marathon, and we want to run the race well. We want to get a fast start. We want to have a good, effective, and we want to finish strong. And all I can say to that is amen, brother.
And all I can say to you in response, Brother Todd, is amen. And amen. I, for one, am extremely excited about accompanying you on this missions outreach to the Jewish people. So before we get into it, Todd, again, many of you know that Todd Baker is no stranger. He is the founder of Brit Hadashah Ministries, and he is the pastor of the Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation in Dallas, Texas. He is also the theologian for Zola Levitt Ministries. And if you don't get the Levitt letter, you can go to Levitt.com, sign up for the free newsletter, and you can read Dr. Todd Baker's, not only his articles, but he also answers your theological questions, whether it's a Bible question or a question that relates to Bible prophecy. And again, folks, as you know, Todd and I are about to embark on the 34th Missions Outreach to Israel. Now, Todd has been there. He's taken 33 trips over there, sharing the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, sharing the Habesarah, the good news of the gospel. And again, folks, I am honored to accompany Todd on this outreach in sharing the gospel to the Jewish people. So, Todd, I want to run this by you right now. Friend of mine who lives in Mississippi just posted a video on Facebook of a young Jewish lady that he led to the Lord in a mall in Wyoming. I mean, this guy is a soul winner. I preached at his church many times there in Mississippi. I remember, leading a Jewish lady to the Lord a few years back at our hotel in South Carolina. And brother, I was on cloud nine. Todd, in all of your 33 mission trips to Israel and passing out hundreds and hundreds of Bibles, during those 33 trips that you've made over there over the years, has a Jewish person come to faith in Yeshua as their Messiah in all your trips?
Yes, they have prayed. They've understood the gospel, and they've accepted that Jesus is the Messiah, and he made the atoning payment for their sins. And usually once that happens, we try to hook them up with a list of messianic congregations there. So certainly we've had I led a Russian Jew on the airplane to the Lord. She had already been witnessed to him, had a good friend that was witness to her, and she accepted the Lord through a Lachaim track. One young girl we led to the Lord in Mount Hermon at a restaurant, and I shared my testimony how I came to Yeshua, and she prayed to receive Mashiach. We had another young man in Tiberias a couple of years back. We shared the gospel with him, and he saw that Yeshua fulfilled the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, and he got saved. So, yes, Jewish people are getting saved there, and our goal, of course, is to see them get saved. But as you know, you cannot reap until you first sow, or someone has to sow for you to reap. So I will say that our ministry largely deals in sowing the Word of God and watering it. But on occasion, we've had the great privilege of leading a Jewish person to Yeshua HaMashiach and seeing them complete their divine and biblical destiny that God has called for every Jew to walk in, to experience, and to realize.
Amen, brother. And folks, that's what we're going to be doing, heading over there to Israel. I told everyone this is not a tour. There's no sightseeing. I'm sure we're going to be seeing things, but there's no sightseeing, no touring.
Yep.
Todd and I are going there with one mission and one goal only, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus with the Jewish people. This is I'm trying to find the right word here, Brother Todd, but this seems to be a lost burden in the church today. And
I was invited to a wedding recently, and this is kind of out of touch or misinformed than the mainline denominational churches are. I was talking to this effete Episcopalian priest, and he asked me, I heard you're in ministry. What do you do? And I told him about Jewish evangelism in Israel. And while he did say that God still remains faithful to Israel because of the covenants, he then went on to, in a way, nullify his statement by saying, because God is still faithful to his covenants with the Jews, it really makes proselytizing a very difficult issue to do. And I said, not really, not when God commands it in his words. Romans 1:16 says the gospel to go to the Jew first, the great commission of evangelization by the proclamation of the gospel during the present age. It is to start with the Jewish people in Jerusalem. There's only one way to salvation, and that's through Yeshua HaMashiach and the new covenant that he ratified. And then he proceeded to tell me that, well, I only go to the West Bank when I go to Israel. And I'm like, not that they don't need the gospel if you're even doing that there, but you are neglecting your obligation to make the concerted effort of taking the Jewish gospel to the very people it came from. And, of course, he turned and walked away and really didn't know what to say after that. I think the scriptures just silenced him. But this is what we're dealing with. This this is true in American evangelicalism, and I would say even among Messianic churches, they're simply not going to the Jewish people. Not enough. Again, I don't want to pat this ministry on the back and thump my chest out and say, look at me. But I've been over there 30. Actually, I visited Israel 37 times. 33 of those trips was to conduct gospel outreaches. And in all that time, I think I maybe met two other evangelists or even ministries that are doing the same thing we're doing. And there's such a dearth over there of this kind of ministry. And really, there should be an overflow if the church were really obedient to the divine order of the Great Commission. And moreover, may I add, this is especially needed when so many Israelis are completely open to the gospel. Another guy that goes over there with me, Eric Oler, when we were over on a recent gospel outreach to the Jewish people of Israel, he actually compiled a statistical pie graph, and he came up with in the end, after we witnessed to, I don't know, it was about 70-something people, I can't remember the exact number, almost 9 out of 10 people were not only open to our gospel witness, but received the Jewish scriptures that included the New Testament. So they are open, and the church really is missing the ball on this. But again, you know, the Lord has to remind me, he always reserves a remnant in the end, right? Many are called, but few are chosen.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Todd. I mean, you know, you mentioned this, would you say it was an Episcopalian man, minister,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, the moment you start sharing the scriptures with those type of people, brother, you're talking a whole entire different language to them. I'm reminded of Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, where it says, I've written to them great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. The scriptures are strange to those people because they embrace same-sex marriages. You know, to them, who cares about Israel?
Preaching.
Who cares what's going on in Israel? They're involved with this, you know, divestment deal with Israel. And,
yes.
You know, so
which is really an attempt to destroy.
Like,
yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's, go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry, and I want to talk about this so-called divestment and the real agenda behind it. But go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No. I want you to run with it, Todd, because them, like the Episcopalians, like the Presbyterian Church, USA, you know, the majority of these leaders in those movements are heretics to the core. They're anti-Semitic to the core. And I'm going to mention another name in a few moments after you finish your thought. But when you mention the scriptures to these individuals, it's like they're talking in an entirely different language because they don't know the Word of God. And they're involved in this divestment scheme, you know, to withdraw from businesses who do business with Israel. I mean, Todd, this is anti-Semitic to the core. There's no if, ands,
yeah,
about
it's
it.
Not exactly. It's not only anti-Semitic to the core, but it's also an attempt to dismantle the financial infrastructure of Israel, which is largely built on what? Tourism. So they're discouraging people not only going to the birthplace of their faith, since they claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, who is a born and bred Israeli Jew, never stepped out of Israel proper when he did his ministry here, and will return there and set up his worldwide reign from Jerusalem that will be the world capital, and Barack Hussein Obama can think otherwise, but he doesn't determine the boundaries for the Jewish people. And in thinking that he does so, commits another one of his many egregious blasphemies. I digress. But anyway, the divestment of Israel is simply an attempt to destroy Israel. And that's all it is, and they are being inspired and empowered by the spirit of the devil. Satan always chooses to hate and destroy those whom God chooses to, through which he fulfills his plans to man. And the Jewish people are front and center on this attack. Of course, the born-again Bible-believing remnant Christians are also on the front line of that attack. And but I will tell you this, when we go over tomorrow, we'll be equipped with some really nice Messianic Gospel track materials. We'll be handing out a pamphlet. I think I might have shown you one before, but it's in Hebrew and English. And it lists 17 major Messianic prophecies that Yeshua fulfilled from the Tanakh in the Brit Hadashah. So that's just one thing we'll be handing out. We'll be handing out a tract that you're familiar with called Love the Jewish People. That's also, if you believe it, that there's an alternate title for that same tract called Israel Past, Present, and Future. So depending upon which issue you'll get, I can tell you from the Hebrew which one it says. But it's the same contents inside. And that tract really is, you know, there is an appeal even in adults to comics, you know, comic books. Most people grew up reading comics. Well, this track uses the comic book format, and you've seen it before. And it's really a brilliant overview of God's plan of for Israel from the exodus of Egypt, from their exodus out of Egypt to the second coming of Messiah. So we'll be giving out that track, and then we'll be giving out another track called V'chaim, which is an excellent presentation of the gospel within the Hebrew and Messianic context. So you'll be able to look those over tomorrow when we meet, and you'll have your own set I'll give you that you'll put in your backpack.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll be carrying Bibles around and giving them the opportunity to study the evidence themselves. As I've told them many times, don't take a man's word for it, our word for it, but study the Word of God that shows the evidence that proves Yeshua is the one and only Mashiach of Israel.
Amen. You know, Brother Todd, recently Tel Aviv had a gay pride parade. You know, even in the Holy Land, nothing is holy.
Thanks
in part to the godless influence of Sodom and Gomorrah, as you say, or the United States of America.
Yes.
And we know
yes.
the Supreme Court is about to come down with a
yep.
decision to legalize same-sex marriage to force all 50 states to perform same-sex weddings. Do you see this happening? And you keep telling me, actually, you're sort of predicting it, that you think this will come down as we're over there in Israel.
Yeah, I think undoubtedly it will. You know, the record of the justices on this issue is hands down always for the homosexual agenda. Now, the only justices that I think that would object are Scalia, help me out here, Thomas, and what's the other one? Alito. I think those are the only three morally conservative judges I see dissenting, and I think the rest of them, and I'm predicting Roberts, a so-called conservative, the six
right,
Supreme Court justices, will have the temerity and the audacity to think that they can redefine marriage from the creation itself 6,000 years ago. This atrocious and blasphemous act that is an utter profanation of God-ordained instituted marriage between one man, one woman, and a heterosexual monogamous union, this will be the Romans, as depraved as they were, never even remotely thought about legalizing homosexuals as married couples. And here, the Supreme Court of the United States, in their stultifying role of trying to play God and be the lords of life, think that they can legally define or redefine marriage. And it will be confirmation of what many solid men of God have already said about this nation. One of them being John MacArthur, who had a message from God gave over a nation. He's preaching from Romans 1, where it says three times, God gave up, God gave over, God gave up.
Right.
When this happens, it won't be at that point. Well, God has given over the government system and the people who run it to a reprobate mind. No, it's proof that he already has done it. If you read Romans 1, 22 through 32, you'll see that when a nation, a people, a society openly practice homosexuality with impunity, without moral shame or conviction, and then others encourage and support them, that is proof they've been given over to reprobate mind. Now, am I saying that homosexuals can be saved? No, they can be saved, but the dangerous
right.
and exclusive, but the exclusive danger about that sin, the sin of homosexuality, is the only sin in the Bible, where Paul says in Romans 1, that there is a certain line you cross at some point where God gives you over to the
yeah.
destructive nature of that sin, and you're beyond salvation. You become a reprobate. You're turned over, as Paul says, but been given over to a reprobate mind. You and I don't know where that line is crossed. But the danger is when you start flirting with that sexual sin and then start getting into bondage into it, you are getting closer and closer to crossing that line. And once you do cross that line, then you practice it, and you either you practice it or you support those who do it, and your nose and your thumb up against God. And that to me is bordering right on reprobation. Well, it's after God's already given you over, and this nation has turned its back on God. It's turned its back on Israel. And I'm talking about the leadership, the that represent this nation. And God said that he would turn any nation into hell that forsakes the Lord, and they will say that the Constitution, now I'm talking about the Supreme Court, that judicial oligarchy that has way too much power to begin with, they will arrogantly and in defiance of God's word, they will say that same-sex marriage is a constitutional right, and they just, there's nothing in the Constitution that even remotely supports or mentions the legality of gay marriage any more than the Constitution says it's okay for a woman to murder her baby in the womb. And, you know, when you really think about it, now we're getting into the abortion issue, this nation is worse than Adolf Hitler. We have killed over eight times Hitler killed Jews. He killed 6 million. How many unborn babies have been killed in this nation? Actually, 9 times, because it's about 57 million unborn babies that have died now. And in America, in their moral hypocrisy, still point the finger at Nazi Germany and Hitler and say how evil it was, and yet they have given a legal license for the silent Holocaust that is now, the silent Holocaust of the unborn, which has now taken 57 million lives. And, August, I've been accused of being un-American and unpatriotic when I point these things out. And my answer back, by Christians, no less. And my response back to them is, no, I love this nation too much to pass a blind eye to the terrible sin, which is bringing down the judgment of God. And that's the spirit of the Bible prophets. They love their nation so much that they did not want to see it being destroyed from within by iniquity, apostasy, moral corruption, and they called their fellow countrymen back to repentance that they might be restored, forgiven, and the nation spiritually healed. And that's what you and I are doing as watchmen on the wall, and we're going to keep on doing it. They're going to try to silence us when we start speaking out against homosexuality and claim we're committing hate crimes against them. They'll come up with all these cleverly forged lies to shut us down. But if we're not willing to speak up for God's truth and be willing, then Jesus said, you're not worthy of me. So this is where the rubber meets the road. I know I'm getting kind of long-winded here, but let me say one more thing, and then you can reflect on what I said. I believe that once the Supreme Court says homosexual marriage is a legally established right, supported by the Constitution, I believe that this will be a line of demarcation in the church. Not the mainline liberal denominational churches that are no longer churches because they're so steeped in apostasy. This is going to be a line of demarcation within American evangelicalism. We're going to see the real Bible believers separated and made to stand in contrast to the false believers who will accommodate homosexuality, who will, out of pseudo-love, not speak out against it, but welcome them in their loving churches while not calling on them to repent of this sin, believe the gospel, get free from it, and walk in the freedom that God has given us in Christ.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Brother Todd. You talked about the watchman on the wall out of Ezekiel chapter number 33, and that's exactly what we got, with watchmen on the wall. There was a friend of mine, another preacher on Facebook, where he said, hey, guys, we need to watch what we say about homosexuality because, they're listening, they're bugging our telephones thanks to the spy agency there.
Let them.
I can't remember the name offhand.
Amen. We're going to speak out against it.
A preacher friend of mine on Facebook said that he posted an article from somewhere. And he said, we better watch out what we say about homosexuality because they're bugging our cell phones. The spy agency, they're monitoring everything on Facebook.
Yes, they are.
So we really need to be careful what we say. And I said, well, wait a minute. What you're telling us, in all actuality, is that we need to start shutting our mouths now because they might come after us and arrest us.
Exactly.
I remember Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, cry aloud.
Spare not.
Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Israel their sin. So what are we to do now? We're to shut our mouths and not say anything. We're not to speak out against the group's genders out there and whatever. We still need to preach out against sin, and we need some modern-day Johnny the Baptist today who are willing to preach it to the heretics of this day and age. And so we can't stop. We can't stop preaching out against this stuff, because if we don't say nothing, Todd, who is? If we don't say
this
anything,
is true,
who is?
And if you really love someone, Ezekiel 3, if you don't warn the wicked of their sins, then I will require it of you. Now, in other words, I believe in the eternal security of a believer, of course, because I believe the Bible teaches that clearly.
Amen.
But if we shut our mouths as believers and don't expose people's sins and tell them that it will destroy them, but there is a redemptive answer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will just turn from their sin to embrace him, i.e. repentance, then God's going to hold us accountable to be in the seat of Christ. We'll lose rewards there. Not our salvation, but we'll certainly lose rewards and perhaps a better and bigger promotion in the coming kingdom. But that aside, I'm planning again to, once the Supreme Court makes this awful decision, and only to be eclipsed by their decision to allow women to murder their unborn children, I'm going to have to devote another complete issue of Search the Scriptures to this. And our first issue, I wrote an article in there called Romans 1, the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, when the Supreme Court struck it down the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, as unconstitutional. And I said in that article that this is setting the stage for what the Supreme Court will later do, and that is openly, legally endorse and accept gay marriage. And that's what they're doing. I mean, anybody can see this. And they have way too much power. They should not be appointed for life. They need to have term limits, because they get up there and they start thinking they're high and mighty and that their word is law and they can affect and change reality. And I got a newsflash for them. God's furious wrath is over them like a storm cloud. And again, I would exempt the three judges who vote along moral and even biblical lines, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia. I'm not including them in this infamous group. I'm including the six other judges. And
absolutely.
It's and going back to what you said about we have to be quiet because we live in a surveillance society. Listen, even that said, the government can do anything to frame you. They could, if they decide like they're doing, in Canada, they're setting up legal tribunal and finding pastors who preach from Romans 1. And call homosexuality a sin, and call on homosexuals to repent, believe the gospel, and be saved. They're being hauled before legal tribunals and fined as high as $10,000. And don't think that can happen here. Don't think that can't happen here. It will. They'll get around the First Amendment somehow. They'll say a hate crime supersedes your First Amendment rights, and therefore we can proceed to prosecute you. And if they really don't like you, they could put stuff on your computer and make you look like a pedophile or a pornographic ad. They can make up anything about you and fabricate evidence. And these people are evil. They are evil to the core. They're depraved, and they're the agents for the coming Antichrist. And once you dissolve marriage and then erase gender distinctions, then that's exactly a recipe for moral chaos and destruction. And it's pushing people into the arms of the Antichrist, to be honest with you, in the end.
Yeah. Todd, we have about 11 minutes left in the show, but, talk about evil. There's a heretic out there, and I told you I was going to mention names. You probably heard of this man. There's a heretic out there by the name of Stephen Anderson. And he is an antagonist, always looking to pick fights with authority. And he would go to, for example, he would purposely speed so that he can get pulled over by a police officer and then try to school that police officer on his First Amendment rights, his Second Amendment rights, this and that, da-da-da-da-da-da. He'll even go through a border patrol and refuse to comply with border patrol and try to school them on their jobs and on the U.S. Constitution. This guy is a post-tribber. This man is a heretic. He just recently said on one of his YouTube videos, he said that Jewish Holocaust survivors are all paid liars. That's what he said. Jewish Holocaust survivors are all paid liars.
This is why General Dwight D. Eisenhower demanded the Army Film Corps film the atrocities of the concentration camps that the Allied forces found them in. So this guy's definitely, like you said, a virulent anti-Semite, because if the Holocaust were real in his eyes, then he would have to be forced to have a sympathy towards the Jewish people, and he doesn't want to do that because that would then mean he would have to set aside his hatred for Jews. And it shows me, brother, that the spirit of Satan's working through him, quite frankly.
Yeah, and folks, I mean, this man is a Baptist pastor out of Arizona. And this man gives a bad name to all good, solid, fundamental Baptist preachers that are out there. I mean, if you are a follower of Stephen Anderson, my advice to you is you need to stop following this guy, because this guy, you know, he opposes authority, which is against Scripture, by the way. He opposes authority. He is an anti-Semite. And if you feel that there's nothing wrong with this guy, I'm just going to say it right out. You've got a serious problem. I don't see how anybody can follow the character of Stephen Anderson.
Amen. And I would remind Stephen Anderson that he's going to have a personal interview with the King of the Jews about his problem with the Jews, and it won't be pretty.
No, it will not be pretty at all. Todd, I got one final question for you. We have roughly about maybe 8 minutes left in the show. I remember when I first got saved in 1988, and God gave me a burden for the Jewish people. And I asked my pastor back then if he would go out with me to share the gospel with the Jewish people in our area in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Now, this pastor is a soul winner, loves winning to the people. But the moment I asked him if he would come with me to share the gospel with the Jews, his whole entire demeanor changed. And he looked at me and he said, well, I don't think we should, because the Jews are experts in the Bible. Now, Todd.
That's completely 180 degrees opposite of that. In Israel today, they're not. They're like most Jews are like most nominal Christians in the church. They're totally biblically illiterate, and that's a good that can be a positive for you and I, because when we show them messianic prophecies that were fulfilled by Yeshua, proving He is Mashiach, and when we show them their own history, past, present, and future, foretold and fulfilled, that's really an eye catcher. But that's completely false. I think he's grasping at straws, and in his ignorance, he's trying to come up with an excuse not to witness to Jews for whatever reason.
Yeah, folks. And I hope you listen to what Dr. Todd Baker just said. That should never discourage you from trying to share the gospel with the Jewish people. Like he just said, they're
Amen.
Just as ignorant of the scriptures as you have a whole lot of Christians in the church that are just as ignorant, you know, in the scriptures. And that's really sad. This should never discourage you and I from going out there and sharing the gospel with the Jewish people. Talk with a few minutes.
Amen, brother. And let me just say this in closing.
Yeah.
How important is God? How important is Israel to God? Well, there are 2,575 times God mentions Israel in His word. Jerusalem, the capital of the kings of Israel, and then Judah, the capital, the future capital of Messiah's 1,000-year kingdom, is mentioned 811 times in Scripture. So, gee, you think maybe the Jewish people are close to the heart of God and extremely important to them? And that's the first reason why we are doing what we're doing, and taking the gospel of Yeshua back to them, and they see the love, the power, the wisdom, and the teaching of Yeshua through us as the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, indwells and reaches out to them. And we would just ask for prayers that we will have an effective outreach with or without adversity, and people can still support us. It's not too late. And I want to thank you, brother, for having me on the show. And I know we're going to make a dynamite duo over there. Really excited about what God has planned for us.
Amen, Brother Todd. How can somebody get a hold of your ministry to send support?
Well, we have we're online at searchthescripturesonline.org. Go to our homepage, and at the bottom screen there's a menu where it says become a partner, I believe, or something to that effect. Click on that, and they can donate through PayPal using any major credit card, or they can write to us if they would like to receive our free newsletter at BHM, that's the abbreviation for Berit Hadashah Ministries, P.O. Box 796127, Dallas, Texas, and the zip is 75379. And I want to thank your people right now, August, for helping out, raising support to underwrite the 34th Gospel Outreach that officially commences tomorrow. I thank them from the bottom of my heart.
Well, praise the Lord for that. We thank, Todd, your people, and we thank our people who closely follow our ministry and support this ministry for sending your financial support to help, to underwrite this 34th Gospel Outreach that Dr. Todd Baker and myself will be leaving tomorrow afternoon to the land of milk and honey, to the land of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Share the gospel of Yeshua with the Jewish people. And again, as Todd said, it's not too late for you to send any type of additional support to continue to help in a future outreach there in the Holy Land. So we appreciate each and every one of you, thank you, all of you, for your prayers and also for your financial support. And so, Todd, we'll be seeing you tomorrow afternoon there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And, brother, also looking forward to you and I getting together for prayer tonight at 7 p.m. As I said before, the program, folks, Todd and I are getting
time.
Together. Yeah,
right.
My time, exactly. We've been praying every Saturday. Every Saturday, Todd and I have gotten together.
Amen.
For prayer and to go before the throne of grace about this gospel outreach. So we're looking forward to it. So, Todd, I will talk to you later on tonight and also see you
okay,
locally tomorrow
one
afternoon.
More thing.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, brother, quickly, we'll have the link to the show on my website later today so they can hear it as well. And we hope to maybe broadcast over in Israel, I think. We're going to try to do that, right, and give people an update.
Yes.
What's going on? Great.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, brother,
I will
talk to you later tonight to pray, and thank you so much again for your ministry. And, folks, you need to support this man of God. He is energetic for God's truth, and he has a heart for the Jewish people, and he's proving that. God bless you, brother.
I appreciate that, Todd. I appreciate that a lot, brother. Thank you so very much. And so, folks, you've listened to Dr. Todd Baker, and he, of course, is the founder of Brit Hadashah Ministries, and you can get a hold of him, get to know him better, at searchthescripturesonline.org. So, Todd, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, brother. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Folks, Todd Baker. Don't forget, we'll be coming to you live next week from Israel. The next 3 weeks we'll be there in the Holy Land. Todd and I will be coming to you with updates every week from Israel. And again, we appreciate each and every one of your prayers and also your support. Until next week, this is August 2000. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.